Hello, respected viewers. This is George from Ireland, and here I am at Oxford Castle. That's Oxford, United Kingdom, not Oxford, Mississippi. So there you see St. George's Tower behind me. Anyway, there was certainly some Anglo-Saxon habitation on this site many centuries ago, prior to the 11th century. Whether it had a fortification or not is disputed, because there have been archaeological digs, but the evidence is inconclusive, to say the least. That's St. George's Tower. Okay, so we'll go in. It's quite an ordinary street here. Look at these, some small Victorian buildings here. There was a little factory here long ago. But on the other side are the blandest buildings ever. Not quite ugly. Ugly might be a bit more interesting than this. Look at that. A bit of Oxford County Council buildings. Anyway, we'll go in and have a look at the castle. So when I first visited Oxford in the 90s, it was still a functioning prison, and then it closed in 1996. So it was a prison from 1785 onwards, and then it was renamed about a century later, Oxford, Her Majesty's Prison, Oxford, or His Majesty's Prison, when there was a king. And there were even executions here, the last of which was in 1952. Okay, so, and then the site was just disused for a very long time. Now you see a bit the 19th century prison part of it. These are now hotel rooms, called a Malmaison hotel. Well, appositely enough, as it's a quondam prison, Malmaison of course means bad house in French. Now here's the original motte, the mound. So the Normans conquered England in 1066, and then they took over the country, and they seized the lands that had belonged to these Anglo-Saxon earls, and below them Anglo-Saxon thanes. A thane was a lesser landowner. Most people were churls and so on, as in poor peasants. Some people were thralls, as in held in chattel slavery. One of the few good things the Normans did was the abolishment of servitude. People could no longer be sold like that. They were chattel, as in almost cattle. They could be sold in the same way as you sell an animal. But anyway, they pressed the local people into service to dig a big a ditch for defensive purposes, and with the extra earth to pile it up here. So that's actually all man-made. And they built a castle atop it, a wooden castle. Now, that subsided over about a century. Only then was it safe to rebuild in stone, because if you built in stone on top of that straight away, the subsidence was not quite even, lopsided, and the whole thing might collapse. But they also built in wood. It was cheaper, it was faster. They needed some sort of defensive structure straight away. Obviously, the great disadvantage of wood is that it's combustible, but they have to have rules about having a full bucket of water in every room at all times, in case they need to douse the flames, because in case their assailants have set the place ablaze. And anyway, I remember when it was closed in 2004, it was completely closed, this site. One Sunday morning I got up very early, couldn't sleep, and I managed to climb over the wall and walk right up to the mound. I walked past it many, many times. So you see a bit more of the prison bit, but this is at a 19th century. And this is the hotel, but I think we can't go into unless I'm pretending to stay in the hotel. Oh, it's open. But anyway, the hotel people will probably kick me out. So what else was I going to say? So it's right in the heart of the city. But it's been built and rebuilt in several stages. And they built the castle at that exact point because it was beside that mill stream, a tributary of the River Thames, to make it almost impossible to attack from the west. Because then you'd have to get over the stream, and difficult to do that whilst keeping your feet dry. And then it was extended and rebuilt over the centuries. And then famously, it was important in the 1135 to 54, a 19-year civil war, sometimes called the Anarchy. They say it was 19 long winters, as it was a bad time. Because obviously the Middle Ages, it was winter, you knew about it when there was no central heating or no electricity, because people were so cold, they'd be running low on food and so on. And they said it was so horrific, it was as though God and his angels slept. Because yes, it wasn't just ordinary warfare, and soldiers getting killed in battle, but an awful lot of civilians killed, and robber barons made the country their playground, kidnapping people, demanding all their money. Someone say, I've given you all my money, well, I'm going to put you a dungeon to help you remember where your money is hidden. A dungeon called an oubliette, as in oublier, forget. And now you're no longer going to forget where your money is. You're going to tell me where it is, and you're going to hand it back to me, and so on. So 1171, they began construction of the castle. It was finished within 2 years. St. George's Tower, the tall one, was finished in 1074. And so the 19-year long winters is about King Stephen versus Queen Matilda, two cousins. So Queen Matilda, she's the daughter of the previous king, but surely a woman couldn't reign. So although the barons had sworn they would recognise Matilda when her father Henry II died, when she took over, in fact, they mostly didn't. They broke their pledge and they recognised Stephen, her cousin, as king. So fighting between them, the Londoners driven her out. She made up her headquarters in Devizes for a while. Oxford Castle was loyal to her. King Stephen had some soldiers in Bristol. He moved on this place in 1142. He besieged it, and then she couldn't get out. The castle was actually quite formidable. He thought his siege engines couldn't break through to the castle walls or anything. So he was waiting to starve them into submission. But on Christmas Eve, 1142, she wore white, so the legend has it, and she had her bed sheets tied together so she could lower herself from her bedroom window from St. George's Tower, Queen Matilda's Tower, some people call it, onto the frozen river and escape over the ice. Some people dispute elements of the story. But the castle surrendered the next day. So anyway, by 1230, it was mainly a prison rather than a castle. What else has happened? Yeah, there was more fighting here in the English Civil War in 1642, and the castle was largely destroyed in that. So it became the proper county prison in 1878. That was closed in 1996. In 2006, it reopened as a museum and also as the hotel and so on, the restaurant, the gift shop, and things like that. So that's it. It's been a very, very effective redevelopment. So you can see the prison bit of it. And the erstwhile hang house is used for something else. It's not a bedroom. People might find that a little bit too spooky. So you can pay to go in here. There's a famous story of Mary Blandy. So Mary Blandy was from a nearby town. I can't remember, it was at Wallingford. And she was unwed at the shockingly late age of, I think, 30. But she had very wealthy parents. So who was going to marry her? You see, this is the former chapel, this very big bit. So a Scots army officer said that he had fallen in love with her, but her parents told her, "We will not marry that boy, he's unsuitable, he's only after you for your assets, not your natural assets, your money." Then they also found out there was one small problem with this army officer, his wife. And divorce was virtually unthinkable, a very lengthy, expensive and scandalous process in those days. But then she was always seen going in out to the kitchens, Mary Blandy, and they had plenty of servants. She didn't cook. And what was this white powder she was putting in her father's food? And then her father died of poisoning. And they opened his stomach, the white powder was there, and they realised the white powder was poison. So she was charged with murder. But her defence was, no, her Scottish boyfriend had sent us this as love potion. And so by putting this in her father's food, her father would sort of fall in love in a fatherly way with her, his daughter's suitor, and he would grant permission for the happy couple to wed without cutting her off from her inheritance. Well, the jury did not buy that, and Mary Blandy was sentenced to hang. She was executed here. And incidentally, the doctor who was involved in the medical investigation was Dr. Addington, who was the son of Henry Addington, Prime Minister, the first Wickhamers to become Prime Minister, as in boy who went to Winchester College. The second Wickhamers is also a son of the doctor, Rishi Sunak. Anyway, so that is a whistle-stop tour of Oxford Castle. I don't know why it's gone so bright now. Okay, so you get an idea a bit what it's like, a bit of the dimensions of it. And I'm very glad it's open to the public. They've done something with it. Right, and a bit of it is a sort of 19th century courthouse, which I think still functions, actually. Right, so thank you for watching my channel. So please subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone. Toodaloo.